Okay. Okay, so we're going to wrap up by looking at now small scale fading. So see how the power is fluctuating over short distances over a short period of time. Okay. So a number of factors lead into this small scale fading, so to this rapid fluctuation. Multipath is going to cause problems, or you know, is sort of underlying all of the issues. And this multipath fact, these multipath factors exist in and of themselves, but they also combine with motion to create issues. And so we'll see that there's a number of different effects that can be present depending on exactly what's going on with the system, and also how exactly those effects manifest themselves is going to be dependent on the characteristic of the signal you're trying to send, so how the signal interacts with this environment that you have. It also varies depending on the characteristics of the signal. Okay, so without doing any more derivations or any more real maths, we're going to reference back to our two-path problem frequently, just to take a closer look at what's going on. So last time we were looking at power. Now we're going to look at the actual amplitude of the signal. And we're going to see that, again, over two paths, well, your amplitude is going to differ because your power is dropping. But you get this cosine factor, which is dependent on time of arrival and also on the phase at arrival. Okay. So we're going to have these time and phase differences are going to factor into what happens to our signal, and also frequency. We're going to see the frequency of the received signal can be perceived to be changed somewhat by motion, by our what's called a Doppler effect. Okay. So we're going to start by looking at what happens without motion, and ignore this Doppler problem, and just look at take a closer look at our multipath signal. Okay. So, what we see, again, is that our value of A is going to be dependent on this cosine minus 2 by F, T2 minus T1 plus T1, T2 minus T2 minus T1. We're going to just get rid of this phase change. The phase differential portion, just to make life easy for ourselves for the moment. If you can always add it back in later.
And so the question becomes, how does this cosine factor change with either time or distance? And so what are the range of values it can take? Just sort of as the first exercise. Well, the maximum value it can be is 1. And so if it's 1, your amplitudes are combined, and A becomes A1 plus A2. The minimum value it can take is -1. If it's -1, then your amplitudes are sort of exactly opposite, and you're subtracting, and A is the absolute value of A1 minus A2. The question becomes, when do those two things happen? And by looking at combinations of frequency, distance, and time, in particular, when the distance difference varies by an even number of half wavelengths, then signals combine. If it differs by an odd number of half wavelengths, then the system cancel each other. Cancel. This occurrence is also going to be then periodic with frequency, so that you go to T and you try different frequencies, you're going to get a periodic response. So this is going to lead to what's called frequency selective fading. Some frequencies drops. If you send it one frequency, you get a significant drop. If you send it a different frequency, you don't. Okay.
So, again, that's what happens with just two paths. Again, you can sort of extrapolate out from two to many paths. So two paths gives you an idea of the approach. And you now have many paths. As before, it's difficult to deal with many paths. So statistical models have been developed. And so there are two main statistical models to represent the multipath properties for small-scale fading. And the first, and they again have to do with whether or not a dominant path exists. So if you assume that there's no real line of sight path, then everything's coming through by reflections, then you get Rayleigh fading. And if there is a line of sight path, then you get Ricean fading.
But in either case, again, depending on very small changes in distance, and possibly changes in frequency, you're going to, again, have deep fades. So you're going to have significant changes in your received signal.
Okay. So there's a lot of categorization of these various effects. The first
we'll look at has to do with this multipath effect. And so we have our signals traveling along different
paths. It will cause them to experience different delays, and we saw that. And this we refer to as the delay spread.
Okay. And we denote it signal D. So, again, this the delay spread will have an impact, sort of, for single bits combining, and that's what we're looking at here. And before, obviously, possibly we have the idea of inter-symbol interference, but for now we're excluding that, and we're just looking at how we have a combination of both, you know, one representation, the representation of a single bit. Okay, so we saw that these delays varied depending on frequency. Okay, so we have a frequency-related concept which is called coherence bandwidth. And that gives you the frequency range over which the frequency response is relatively static. Okay. And we call that coherence bandwidth B coherence.
So,
if we return to our two-ray example just to get some intuition, we see that the difference in frequency between fades, between one fade and the next, is governed by the time delay between the two signals, and it's related to 1 over delta T. Therefore, your coherence bandwidth is going to be proportional to 1 over that delay spread. Okay. So you're going to want it to be less than 1 over, you know, significantly less than 1 over delta T. Okay. Generally, what we do is we say that our coherence is 1 over 5 times the delay spread. So, what exactly is going to happen then is going to depend on the bandwidth of the signal relative to this coherence bandwidth.
Okay. And so we get two
types of fading occurring. We get flat fading, or we get frequency selective fading.
Okay, which means exactly that. You either, with flat fading, it's sort of constant over the signal. With frequency selective fading, you're dropping out certain frequencies within the signal bandwidth. Okay.
So, flat fading occurs if the bandwidth of the signal is less than our coherence bandwidth. When you're sending bits, the bandwidth is related to the inverse of the period of the duration of the signal. So you get 1 over your B sig can be represented as 1 over T sig. And your coherence bandwidth, again, we said, was 1 over 5 with the leg spread. And so what we, if we work that out, we see that our delay spread is significantly less than our bit duration. Okay. And you know, what that means is you're essentially receiving all the signals more or less at the same time, all the copies are more or less at the same time.
Okay. So what happens if you have flat fading?
Well, the signal, the power drop is uniform over the whole signal. Again, if you get unlucky and you're in the wrong frequency range, then you're experiencing a deep fade.
Okay, so you're going to need a lot of transmitter power to compensate for that. The reverse of that is frequency selective fading.
So here the bandwidth of the signal is much greater than our coherence bandwidth, which means that your different portions of your signal, different frequency components of your signal are fading at different rates or by different amounts. And again, here we have that our coherence time is greater than our signal duration. So we're not over the transmission time of the signal, we're experiencing changes. Okay. So this is sort of more problematic to compensate for because you're distorting your signal rather than just decreasing the amplitude. Okay.
So those are the effects that you would see for a stationary transmitter or receiver. And so again, the problem is that by moving your transmitter and receiver small distances, you can have significantly different effects or transmission characteristics. Motion is going to provide a further complicating factor to that picture. Okay.
So we have a Doppler effect, which is going to be viewed at, which is something that happens when you have motion, and it can be viewed as either a change in frequency or possibly a change in phase, depending on how you view it. Okay. This is going to combine in with our multipath. So if you have a single signal being sent, then it's possible to deal with the Doppler effect isn't going to cause any major problems. But when it's combined in with multipath, again, you're going to experience different fading effects.
Okay. So we're going to start by looking at exactly what this Doppler effect is for one
signal, and then we'll see how it's combines in with multipath by looking at, again, our two-ray problem and then just asserting a few things wrong there. Okay. So the Doppler shift refers to a change in the observed frequency of a signal due to motion either for the transmitter, the receiver, or even objects in between, so the thing that you're bouncing off is moving. Okay. And so we're going to look at a single case where we have our mobile station, our transmitter is moving, and we'll say it's moving at a velocity v along a path, which is a distance d away from a receiver. Okay.
So we get something like this.
S is our receiver. And we're moving at some direction, not directly towards S, but not totally away from E either. Okay.
So, as we move,
the distance, obviously, between the wave and the source changes, and so the amount it changes by is a function of the distance you are away plus times the angle you are to that
receiver. Okay. So,
as you move, the distance is going to change
by a small amount. Okay. The distance can be characterized in terms of the time
that elapses by using your velocity or the rate at which you're traveling. This leads to a phase change. So the phase is a function of, again, the distance traveled, and so if you have a change in that distance, you get a phase change, and we can then plug in to that to see how
the phase is changing with time. Okay. And since now the phase is changing with time,
this will be perceived as a change in frequency. What is frequency? It's a change in the angle with time.
So this, the amount by which the frequency changes is called the Doppler shift,
and it's a function of the speed at which we're going. If the mobile is moving towards, if your sender is moving towards the receiver, then you get a positive Doppler shift. As the distance changes, things are essentially arriving a little faster, and so it looks like you're sending it more frequently. And if you're moving directly away, then you get a negative change to the frequency, and anything at an angle, of course, is governed by
how far that angle is away from the direct direction. Okay. So, again, we can have a little look at
how that plays into what we're doing. And we've got sort of a similar set of categorizations to what we had for the multipath effect. So we can look at the amount by which the frequency is changing, and we refer to that as the Doppler spread. How much change are you going to experience within your frequency? And we've already said that in a multipath scenario, the impact of delays is going to vary with frequency. Okay. Therefore, we have an idea of the coherence time, which is a measure of the time over which your channel response is essentially invariant. So we're going to call that peak coherence.
Okay. So if we look at our two-ray example, what do we see?
And again, we see that the time between fades is going to be related to 1 over our Doppler spread. And so, again, what we would expect is that, again, our coherence time is going to then be related to the inverse of our Doppler spread. And so that's for two rays. If you make a bunch of assumptions as to how you're modeling your signal, then, again, you can assert that your coherence time is going to be, again, proportional to 1 over
the Doppler spread. So, this is going to lead to 2
possible phenomena. Slow fading and fast fading. And so for slow fading, what we say is that the channel response is changing at a slower rate than the signaling rate. Okay. And that's hand-in-hand with the Doppler spread being smaller than the bandwidth of the signal. Okay. So, if we think of our bandwidth, again, being smaller than our Doppler spread, then you take 1 over that, then switching the directionality of your inequalities, and again, then we can say that bandwidth is related to 1 over the signal duration, and again, our coherence time is related to 1 over our Doppler spread. So, either of those two ways, either the spread is less than the signaling bandwidth, or the duration of the signal is less than the coherence time.
Okay. So the reverse of that is fast fading, so the characteristics of the channel are changing over the period of the symbol duration.
Okay, so in practice, that's only going to happen if you have fairly low data rates. And again, you've got these two factors. Either your signal duration is greater than your coherence time, or in the frequency domain, your Doppler spread is much greater than your signal bandwidth.
So what we'll see later is that that's a narrow band signal. Okay. So, yeah, that just summarizes all of those for the notes. Again, we've got our effects are based either strictly on multipath without motion, or then you can add in effects if you are actually in motion. So we'll wrap up with just having a quick look at just what exactly that all looks like. So we started with this fairly easy to understand view of path loss. So in decibels, your path is going to drop linearly. The free space loss says you're dropping linearly. With distance, we then added in these log normal effects, which said that, well, we probably aren't going to be exactly along that line, but the effects are not, as we sort of change our distance, these effects are not going to change rapidly. Okay. So if I get one channel here, moving here, it'll change it a little bit, but not a lot. Okay. Then we chucked in all these small scale effects, which said that the things can change really rapidly along this path. Okay. So if we level that out,
what we see is that there's a baseline power at which you will need to transmit to get a certain distance, but that's going to be changing due to our log normal effects and also due to our small scale fading effects. And in particular, we can get some heavy dips due to small-scale fading. Okay. So we're going to have to move our transmitter power up sufficiently to try and avoid at least most of these dips.
Okay. So again, we said that how exactly we interacted with this depended on bandwidth of our signal. So we're going to look at again with just a specific example. It's a two-path propagation with a specific delay and maximum attenuation is going to happen at 1/1 of that delay, and so that's going to be for this every 100 kilohertz. Okay. We can then look at essentially a slow, medium, and fast signal bit rates, and obviously the we will see the different patterns emerging for each. Okay. So if we start with our slow signal, we have 600 bits per second.
Then this is a very narrow band system. Again, that gives you a fairly large bit duration. And then this would be a narrow band signal. Okay. And so for this, we're going to experience flat fading. And so this is fine, depending on where our carrier frequency is, but it's possible, again, that your whole signal will, again, fall within one of these major dips. Okay.
Medium band system. Okay. So here we're going to
experience selective fading. So we're going to, within the bandwidth of our signal, we're going to lose certain frequency components. So our signal will be distorted but not attenuated, because we will still recover a lot of our frequency components. If we look at what delay we're experiencing, the delay is now longer than a bit period. Okay, so we are going to experience inter-symbol interference. Okay, and that, again, is problematic. So you need some method of being able to distinguish one signal from the next. Okay. And so if we look at a wideband signal, we just essentially get more of the same. So experience fading, sort of frequency selective fading. We have a delay that's corresponding to 13 bit periods, which means you can have a lot of different bits now interacting with each other. And typically we have to have special techniques, which are essentially going to be a way of encoding the bits, so that we can distinguish one bit from the next.
Okay.
So, in order to deal with these fading effects, we're going to make use of diversity, which we'll return to later when we're going to talk about specific techniques for sort of encoding sort of more specific modulation techniques that are designed to deal with problems like this. And so the idea behind diversity is that you want to provide multiple logical channels between transmitter and receiver, and then send part of the channel over each different portion. Okay. So you can change the physical transmission path, so you can have multiple antennas. You can try and spread your signal over multiple frequencies.
and or even a try and spread your signal over a greater time period. We'll return to these ideas sort of later in the
semester. The only thing to say now is that, again, dealing with things like this is going to take more work than what we've discussed so far. Okay, so that's it for what we need to, what we're going to say today. Again, we assume that our radio signals are going to change with the distance from sender to, well, radio signals do change with the distance between sender and receiver. And we can characterize how that change happens as either large-scale effects or small-scale effects. For large-scale effects, there we're going to just, try and wrap it up as just, it's dropping as some power of the distance. Okay. We also then see that within small distances, that can change a lot. Okay. And that change, again, is different depending on the actual character, how that changes, impacts on the signal depends on the actual characteristics of the signal, either the bit duration or, conversely, the bandwidth. Okay, so we will finish by just saying that we've seen that our channel conditions can be quite unpredictable, and thus we're going to have an unpredictable degree of loss. And one thing that we'll look at sort of moving forward is exactly how can we deal with this? How can we try to mitigate these factors. So that's all for today. We'll continue with this idea sort of next time. Okay, so I will see you guys next week.